Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by John Herman, U.S. Rate Strategist for MUFG. It's Wednesday, July 8th, 2020. Welcome back, John.
Great to be back, John.
I'd like to spend a little more time on the economic forecast and investment thesis for the second half of the year that you laid out for listeners a few weeks back. Our recent conversations led me to believe that the latest data has emboldened those views. Remind us, what are your second half GDP and payroll forecasts? Also, in one of your recent notes, I saw that you have a four handle on the unemployment rate at some point in the not too distant future. Is that right?
Well, thanks, John. I mean, that's sort of the attention grabber to our amazement when we just recrunched all the numbers and reran all the models, over the last week or two. You never know what to expect because there's just very big numbers hitting the screens all the time. And the unemployment rate number consistently came out tracking 4.7, 4.8% for year-end 2022 and like 4.1% for year-end 2023, which is just utterly amazing. So let's kind of tell you how we still think we can get there. So again, we're still amazed that these numbers are staggering to wrap your head around, but GDP a couple of months ago, we were saying looked like it would be down 33, 34, 35% in the second quarter. Still looks like that. Still looks like it's going to bounce 21, 20, 22% in the third quarter, and then follow on by another 6 to 7% gain in the fourth quarter. And again, with given the flow of data, it's just astonishing that the numbers would kind of consistently produce that those kind of forecasts, but they have. So we're very, very pleased with that. Next year, so for the whole year, we should be down like 4.8% year on year, something like that. Next year, we're tracking on a year on year basis, like 3.9%. It could be a lot better. So if we, in our models, we're assuming the vaccine comes around March, April, or possibly a little later, is what we're thinking. Some other people, some of our competitors are saying, no, there's a chance we may get it December, January, maybe February. So again, we have 3.9% year on year growth for next year, assuming we hit the vaccine in March or later. So that's our base case assumption. So again, very, very good numbers. The payroll numbers look really quite respectable. So on average, second half, like 900,000 plus gains there. But again, we're assuming crucially that the schools do reopen in their normal, public schools do reopen in normal slots in August, early September, and the football seasons kick off and everything else. We, like everyone, we hold deep reservations about the implications for the health risks for people and children. And I have two very young children and we're homeschooling. So I totally get the concerns. But we're thinking, we just keep thinking they're going to reopen, and the education departments keep pointing that direction. And that would mean that we'd probably, come very close to hitting our numbers for next year. So, and then for the unemployment rate, we're just, again, really, really pleased to see that we're tracking about an 8.7% unemployment rate by the end of this year, which is high, but a tremendous improvement over 20% a couple of months ago. And then over the next 2 years, we're tracking by 2022, tracking 4.7, 4.8%, and then 2023, 4.1% unemployment rate, which is just, but again, it assumes that the government has to keep doing the right thing. As Chair Powell says, the Fed has to do the right thing, and the fiscal authorities have to do the right thing. And in that spirit, what it means, as Chair Powell says, you got to keep your foot on the gas. It's way too early to think of exiting, quantitative easing or not doing yield curve control or raising. It's way too early to talk about anything like that. It's also way too early to talk about not supporting the people who are unemployed with extra payments and so on, and pandemic unemployment insurance and the like. It's also not, it's much too early to think about not supporting small and mid-sized businesses. It's way too early to think about not supporting state and local governments. It's way too early to think about not doing infrastructure. We need to keep doing these things to stay on the right path. And then, as Chair Powell says, over time, as we achieve that kind of unemployment rate number and the GDP, then you start to peel it back and unwind it and let the natural forces of the economy take over. That's the right strategy. We 100% in agreement with this with Chair Powell, and we would feel emboldened by the fact that we have a strong voice at the head of the Federal Reserve, who's really voicing opinions very, very close to ours. So we're really pleased with that.
Okay, so I think we understand your base case pretty well. Playing devil's advocate, what would derail that scenario? Or said another way, over the next, let's say, 12 to 24 months, what are the predominant risks to your base case forecasts?
Okay, so friend, risk-wise, I think it's really pretty straightforward. And as Chair Powell said, it's the path of COVID. So, over the last 2 to 3 weeks, we've gone from running, high 20,000 new cases a day to suddenly now running 56,000 new cases per day in COVID. That has caused some state governments and so on to reclose, as opposed to reopen, to reclose parts of their, like bars and parts of restaurants and things and the like. So we're worried about that. But even should we be able to dial with the latest efforts in Texas, Florida, and the like, California and so on, even if we should be able to dial these current numbers, 48 to 55,000, down to say 33 to 40,000, even if we're able to do that, that's very high to be ending the summer. And we would think that the Labor Day holiday in conjunction with the school reopenings and the football season kicking off, et cetera, that by mid-October, we could be back to like 65 to 70, 75,000 cases per day, basically right before the election. So that's the first risk. The second risk is we do think it is an election risk. We think people in the middle of the road are going to say, their families, the health of their families are highly important. The health of their children, highly important. How can we do the right things? What's the right approach do we need? First thing. Secondly, is without question, even in our forecast for the unemployment rate, there's still at the end of the year, some 10 million people out of a job. They still need tremendous support. We just can't walk away. We have to keep doing the right things. And we think there's a really good chance. We've said this at the last election in 2016. We think the tail risk has a probability is much higher than what the surveys would suggest and so on. And by tail risk, we mean a big pendulum swing in the voting, not just for the presidency, but for the Senate. So as I know we've said this before, but we think there's a very good chance that, that the pendulum would put put Joe Biden as president possibly, and also move three, maybe four, maybe even five seats in the Senate towards a Democratic outcome. Maybe just by the narrowest of majorities in voting, but we could see, that would seem like a reasonable risk assessment to us, even by the narrowest of majorities. So, and if that were to be the case, then you would see a big swing in the political pendulum in terms of, programs for the coming, 4 years and starting in January. So we think that is something. But what I would say, I know the knee-jerk reaction on equity markets is, oh, that sounds like taxes are going to go up, tax rates are going to go up, and therefore we should, abandon, we should sell risky assets and so on and correct and so on. And that may be the knee-jerk reaction. But what we would suggest to people, if you actually give the economy the things that it needs, healthcare-wise, things that it needs for, unemployment and for small businesses and so on and so on, and government more support, more of a role there. If you give more support to state and local governments to help them through their budgetary shortfalls this year, and help, things like everything from, teachers to fire department people and police department people. I mean, you're actually giving the economy the things it really needs. So I think over the intermediate term, that kind of outcome would fit very closely with our payroll numbers, with our GDP numbers, and with that remarkable unemployment rate forecast.
Thanks. So there's clearly plenty of risks for our clients to watch out for. Let's take that base case economic outlook and the risks that you just outlined and turn them into an investment thesis. What does all this mean for your core strategic 230s yield curve steepener over the next, let's say, 6 months, as well as the 12 months past that?
Okay, so this is, I think, kind of straightforward. So for the next 6 months, Again, the economy doing well, even in the face of some of this reclosing or whatever you want to call it currently, and even with in the face of the high COVID levels, it does point to a steepening bias in the curve. And we can see that even after all the good numbers that when they're released, the curve knee-jerk does a steepener. However, you know, the next day or two, suddenly the COVID numbers make everybody nervous. And then the curve kind of tends to become less steep. It has a little bit of a flattening bias to it. But so the next 6 months is probably that give and take, that back and forth is probably not going to change. Because again, you know, the high COVID levels in the fall sounds like a risk off situation for equity people. And that would tend to re-flatten the curve. The, you know, a possible pendulum swing might also make equity investors nervous. I think, again, my view is in the intermediate longer term, I think that would be the wrong way of reading that outcome. But the equity people may take it that way initially, and that would tend to flatten the curve more than it would steepen the curve. But when we get past these 6 months, at some point next year, it's reasonable to assume a vaccine, some treatments and things like that start to arrive. And we're not saying that there's going to be a perfect, you know, solution starting January 1st or anything like that. You know, but what we think is the stronger data will take over next year. The growth next year will be quite good. The unemployment rate will make a meaningful move lower. So again, we're looking for 10 to year on 8.8% or so, 8.7. But then the year after that, you know, we're looking at 5.7%. Year end, and then a 4.6 handle the year after that. So, you know, the intermediate horizon looks much more promising for a steepener, because we also do expect the Fed to introduce in the public they call it the yield curve control, but in the United States history, we call it the interest rate caps. And we expect the interest rate caps really to be focused on the front end of the curve, like 2-year notes, 3-year note yields, that kind of thing. So put the caps there, and then let the rest of the curve kind of adjust to that stuff. And that would tend, in our minds, to steepen the curve as you really pin the front end interest rates. So running big deficits, doing a lot of spending, and so on, that the economy needs, that's in our long-run interest, doing all that increases auction supplies. That does also tends to steepen the curve. The strong growth tends to steepen the curve. The yield curve control, if you will, tends to steepen the curve by pinning the front end yields. The Fed's forward guidance over we're keeping these rates low for long and so on tends to steepen the curve. The unemployment rate forecast and the like, you know, also points to a steeper curve. So, you know, I know it's kind of almost sounds like something like out of a science fiction novel or something, but, you know, we think at the end of the day, the data works its way through, and the policymakers hopefully do the right things and stay the course. And Chair Powell definitely seems like it's 100% behind that. And the rest of the Fed officials appear to be the same way. So we're very, very hopeful. We just hope that Congress and the president can see their way through. And then we hope that the average citizen can just adopt some of the protocols that you need from, you know, wearing masks and social distance and wearing gloves and the like, staying home when you're not feeling well, working from home when you can, that kind of stuff. And just to allow the economy to continue to heal. And I think in another year to 2 years, we're going to be really, really surprised at the improvement.
Hey, well, we all certainly hope you're right. Great analysis as always. Thanks for joining us, John.
Thank you, John, so much.
Thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.